A new season. Bereishis. You know the parasha? Yeah, does the Baal Kriya have to show the place? Any Baal Kriya here? I'm asking. Do you show the place to the oiler, the coin, when he gets?
The question that I had was when I davened in the shtibul Rabbi Halberstam, so he used to tell me when he got an aliyah, and I should, the first time it happened, when I was laning, I pointed to the place, and he looked at me and said, you have to show me where you start, where you finish.
Lubavitch does that.
So I asked him, by gracious, do I have to be Goyal to the Ein Engel in Israel so I can start Bereishis?
We were going to finish.
Give me a dirty look.
Once in a while I lane. When I lane, and once in a while, and very rarely does a person get that lead, they ask me, show me where you end. It's very rare does it happen. So it was 1 week, there was a boy in the yeshiva, we lane, our Yitzchak. Lubavitch, and it was a Lubavitch boy. And we had a whole chevra of Chabad. Whole chevra that came from Chabad to participate in the Simcha happened to be my week when I lane. So every single oile asks me where we end. Each aliyah.
I used to tell the guys, I told them one time, I have no idea, I'll stop when I'm ready.
And so it was a problem because, you know, okay, the first one I knew, the second one, it was a hard part. It was like a parish, like we know, we had a long parish where, you know, you don't end.
No,
and like, I got to a certain point, I said, you know, I really mock it because I really don't know. I can't find it now. It's going to take too long to find. Olam over here, we need to move. So like, okay, fine, it's okay. But they all asked, where do you start? Where do you end? They were very makbid. There were some tough guys there. All right, in any event.
You only have to show me after three psukim.
What do you mean? What do you mean after three psukim? You have to show him. You have to show where you start. You have to show where you start. If you make a mistake, there's a whole shayla in the bracha. Big shayla if you have to make another bracha. Happened to me once. I showed the person the wrong place. I have a whole ma'isa. It all depends where and what. Okay, but one thing is for sure, don't show the whites, the beginning of the empty part of the parchment for Bereishis. You start with Bereishis. Okay, Bereishis, Bara Lukim.
They kiss each part.
Right, that's what they do. They kiss the part where they start and they kiss the part where they end. That's the minig of Chab.
Start and start.
They kiss where they start and they kiss where they end.
And start back three times.
Three times?
Favorite part, he touches the top, he touches the bottom, then he touches the top again.
You touch the starting point and the bottom point, and then
the starting point again.
Three times. You see what he's saying? What they do in Chabad, you show the oiler where you start, where you end. He then kisses the location where you start. He then kisses the location where you end. And then again, he kisses the location where you start. It's a three-step process. So it used to be the very machbid, not to touch the oisiois with the talis because it can easily rub out. A new Sefer Torah today that is totally not an issue. Totally not an issue because it will not rub out. A new Sefer Torah. I'm not talking about a Sefer Torah from 100 years ago. The dioi today is so strong that if Chas Hashem is a mistake, they can't even get it out. Because and that's just so that's not a lechatchila. Lechatchila, according to Chazal, the ink is supposed to be in the nature where you could erase it.
Right.
That's the halacha. For whatever the reason is, the oil, we don't do that today. Today, the sofrim use ink that is virtually impossible to erase. It is impossible. And when they have to make a correction, they have to basically scrape off the parchment. Scrape off a small thickness of the parchment because there's no way just to take off the ink. The ink gets absorbed into the parchment to such a degree where it's impossible to erase. That is not a hiddur. Part of the koyach of Torah is that there should be potential for ziuf. It's a very deep idea that meikar hadin the dioy the gemara is klapaferish that you're not allowed to add a certain ingredient into the dioy because then it cannot be erased. A chelik of the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world where he leaves potential for a person to come along and be mezayif the Torah. And Hashem is telling you, ubachartu b'chayim, don't do that. Don't be mezayif the Torah. Today it's almost impossible to be mezayif the Torah. And why is that a violation of the Mesorah and the Halacha? Our Diya, if people talk the time of the Amorayim, I wonder, I mean, if they would see our Sefer Torah today, if they would accept it. And obviously the Halacha is that it's mutter, obviously, not challenging that, but it's clear in Chazal, you're not allowed to add certain ingredients into the Diya, because it makes the Diya so strong where it's no longer subject to Ziyuf. And a chelik of the Torah is Hashem left room open for people to prove their authenticity by making a choice to be honest and not to be mezayif. Okay, that's not a point I want to make. Let's go over here. Over here we have the first Rashi. The first Rashi, we always pay tribute to Rabbi Michal Miller, who is the founder of this shir.
Oh, I feel he wrote the Rashi.
Rabbi Michal Miller, maybe he did, I don't know. Rabbi Michal Miller is the founder of this shir. He's the founder, the founding fathers. He's up there at Mount Rushmore. Do you ever see Mount Rushmore? George Washington.
Yeah, I'm one of the flounders.
And Michal Miller. You never saw. If you didn't see, go to Hollywood. You'll see. You'll see where he's there. Okay. But in any event.
In honor of him, the flounder for lunch today.
Rabbi Michal has a chavivus for the first Rashi in the Torah. Omar, here I say, Omar Rabbi Yitzhak. Lohoya Tzarech. Lahaskil esatoira ella meachoidesh hazelochem. She mitzvah reshoina shinitstavu by Yisrael umatam posach bebereshis. Mishom, everybody say please. Mishom koyach masav higiliamai. Hashem wanted to tell the world the koyach of his deeds, he revealed to his chosen nation, the Klal Yisrael. Lo seis lochem nachlas koyim, to give them the inheritance of the nations of the world. Okay, every word here you can medayik in this. There's been encyclopedias written, libraries written on every single word. Shem yomru umay salam. And here we go. If the nations of the world will one day come along and say to Li Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael, listim atem, you are bandits. It's very hard to teach literally what does it mean. Listim, ganovim, gazlonim, roitzchim. There are many different words. Listim is a unique word, but now, for right now, let's just focus on the basic idea. You are thieves. Shekibashtem, what?
Armed robbers.
You're armed robbers. Shekibashtem arotzais shiva goyim. You conquered the land of the seven nations. In other words, you're occupiers. That's what they've been saying today from time immemorial. The Umay Sa'olam say to Klal Yisrael today, especially, this has not changed. They scream out every single moment of the day to the Jewish people, Listim Atem. What are you doing occupying this land that belongs to other nations? So, what is the response? So, the response is the words of Rashi are sacred. Haim Oimrim Lohem. Who is the Haim? Simply, Klal Yisrael responds to them, to the nations of the world, Kol ha'oretz shel ha'kodosh baruch hu hi. That's really the only response. That's a very powerful response. The entire world, the entire earth, is the property, is the possession of ha'kodosh baruch hu. It is really fascinating why Rashi selected this term for Hashem. Many, many times we've discussed this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so many names. There is Hashem, there is Elohim, there is Shakai, there is, you know, Hashem Tzavokos. There are so many different, there are seven Shemois She'enam Nimchokim. And there's a term called Hamokoim. And there are a collection
of... Yeah, actually been an appropriate...
Hamokim, right? That would be a very appropriate thing to say. Kol heimam, kol ha'aretz shel hamokim hi. It belongs to the mokim. Baruch hamokim baruch hu, baruch shenosan Torah li'amo Yisrael b'kedushasai. There are so many different words, that titles, descriptions of Hashem, Hashem, that could have been used to describe the Almighty. And yet, Rabbi Yitzchak, this is a medrash, this is not Rashi's father, Rashi is Rabbi Shlomo ben Yitzchak, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, and even though it begins with Rabbi Yitzchak, there's a legend that Rashi began Chumash by giving honor to his father, by quoting his father. Now that is half true.
No, it's not true.
No, I said it's half true. What do I mean by half true? This is a medrash. This is not Rashi's father. There's no way in the world that there's no way in the world that this statement, Rashi's father said this statement when it is explicitly presented in Medrash Rabbah. This is not Rashi's father.
It's actually two pieces spliced
composite of two different Mor Chazal. However, Rashi, what it means, the legend means, is that Rashi could have said many, many things. Rashi, to give honor to his father, specifically selected a Maimer Chazal authored by someone who has the same name as his father. It doesn't mean that Rashi's father said this. That's impossible. That's ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous to say that Rashi could have arranged all of his comments in Bereshis in a different order, or could have selected other Mamori Chazal, and in honor of his father, he presented a Maimer Chazal that was stated by a person who had the same name as his father. That's a possibility. But in any event, it says the Yiseitem, the whole world belongs, called Arit Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu Bira'ah Unisano La'asher Yoshar Be'enav. He's the Balabas. It's like a father. A father has children, and the father buys a toy, and the father says, I'm giving the toy to this child. He's a good boy today. He behaved. He did his homework. He did not fight with his brothers. He's good. Today, I want my son, my third child, he behaved the best. He is going to get to play with the bike today. And then the next day, the father says, okay, I want now the bike to go to my second child, because the first child is misbehaving. And the second child, he's good today. When I gave it to the first child, I never gave it to him permanently. Everyone can relate to that. Every parent can relate to the fact that when a parent has multiple children and he buys a present, he makes a conscious decision to whom he will give the present, for how long, and under which conditions the present shall remain in the possession of the one that he wants to give it to. Every living creature in this world can appreciate that principle. You're a father, you have many children, you buy a special gift, and you want to present it to your family, and you make conditions. I'm giving it to you under these conditions for this amount of time. And then when you finish playing it, give it, share it, give it to your brother. Or now it's no longer yours. I'm only giving it to you for this amount of time, and now it's time, whatever the reasons are. Everyone can relate to that. Understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of this world. He gave Eretz Yisrael to the Canaanim for X number of years. And now their time is up. They have to relinquish, they have to give it up and give it to the Jewish people. Hashem is the boss. Kol Ha'olam, the entire world, is the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The words of Rashi are Kol Ha'oretz. The entire earth, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu Bira'ah, he created it, Unisana, and he gave it, Lasher, to those, Yashar Be'enav, who was fitting in his eyes, Birit Sinai, Nasana Lohem, Uvirit Sinai, Nidla Mehem, Unisana Lanu. It was his will to give it to them, and it was his will to take it away from them and to give it to us. Okay, that's the words of Rashi. Now, there are many, many things that can be said about this Rashi, and we'll discuss maybe one or two of them. First thing we want to discuss is we basically say this idea, this Rashi of Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, Rabbi Yitzchak, that Rashi says, and Rabbeinu Shlomo Yitzchaki quotes every single day, multiple times a day. What do I mean by that? What do we say every day? We imitate the Kedusha of the Malachim. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem Tzivakos. Meloi Chol Aretz Kivoidai. Correct? What's the next expression? Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoimai. And what's the next expression of the Kedusha? Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Voed. There are three parts to Kedusha. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevagas, Miloy Chol Aretz Kevoid. Number two, Baruch Kevoid Hashem Mimukoimoim. Number three, Hashem Yimloich Liolam Voed. What is the name HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When we refer to Hashem, there are many different ways we can refer to Hashem. Refer to, like we said, they are the seven Shemois She'enom Nimchokim. Then there are rabbinic titles. Hashem. Hamokoim. In Tanakh, there are numerous different descriptions. And then there's a description which is very common in Chazal called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who invented that? Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. What were they trying to do? The answer is obvious. The term, the title, the description of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a synopsis of the Kedusha. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakos, Muloi Choloretz Kevado, just take the first word. Just take the word Kadosh. What's the second part of Kedusha? Baruch Kevoid Hashem Mimukam. Take the word Baruch. So far we have Baruch, we have Kadosh, HaKadosh, Baruch. And what is Su? Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Voed. Hashem will be king forever. Behaviyosa Yehei. Who? The Gemara often darshins the word who means Hashem, that this thing should continue. Who maintain the status quo forever.
Okay.
So Hashem Yimloich. What?
You don't have the term in the Kedusha.
Who?
Yeah.
Right, you don't have the word who in the Kedusha, but the concept is certainly there. Hashem Yimloich, Hashem will be king forever, is the concept of Behaviyosoi Tehei. He will maintain the status, will persist, it will be sustained, it will continue, it will endure. When something will endure, it means Hashem will be king forever and ever. Isn't that the essence of the word who? Who in the Gemara is interpreted, is expounded to mean whatever you have now, maintain the status quo. Stay the course. Stay the course. Let it continue on and on and on forever. In essence, the word who is a summary of the expression Hashem Yimloich. Hashem will be king le'olam vo'ed. Meaning he's a king now, that we know. I mean, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloich le'olam vo'ed. It's drawing from that principle. So when we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the term HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in essence, what we are doing is we are summarizing the Kedusha. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Muloi Chol Aretz Kevodo. Baruch Kivoid Hashem Emekoimoi, Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Voed. Now let's go a little bit further. Who was the one that said, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Muloi Chol Aretz Kevodo? Yeshaya. Yeshaya, Tamari, where in Yeshaya does it say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? Where does it say? Chapter and verse. Excellent. She's right. What pasuk? Unbelievable. Right? Go. When do we read as the Haftarah? Yom Kippur? We say it out loud, Yom Kippur, but which parasha? Of Yeshaya. I forgot. It's in Bereishis. Bereishis, which parasha is in Bereishis? Okay, so we say Kadosh Hu Yeshaya. When Yeshaya lived, it was a time of great revelation. The Shekhinah of Hashem was open, apparent, was tangible. Next words. Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoimai. Who said that? Tamar, who said Baruch Hashem Mimikoimai? Yecheskel. Yecheskel. What chapter? It's true, Yaakov Taka did say, she's right. But where is it in the Pasuk in Yecheskel? Where in Yecheskel? Excellent, 1-1. How does she know this? Unbelievable. Spooky. No one here knows him. She knows this. See this? In Yecheskel. Yecheskel said, Baruch Hashem Mekoimai. Yecheskel said these words at a time of Hester upon him. Yechezkel said these words in Bavel at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, 200 years after Yeshaya. And what did he say? Baruch Vod Hashem Mimikoyma, from his location. Ayei Mikoyim Kevoidai. Where? We don't know where it is. Hashem's location is in hiding. The Shechina is concealed. It's behester upon him. V'enochi astir astir upon him b'yomahu. Yeshaya said, Kodosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Miloi Cholo Aretz Kevoidai. 200 years before, the Shechina was, there was the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Gilui Shechina, it was all over the place. So this also is a little bit in the dimension of who. Kodosh is Kodosh, 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 Hashem Tzivaka, it's Meloi Chol Aretz Kivoidai. That's Gilui Shechina. Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoimoi, Yecheskel. That's Hester Ponim. Sometimes Hashem reveals himself, and sometimes Hashem hides himself. Who? It's all the same. It's another twist. It's another. There are three words to this title of Hashem. Pashup Shad is Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. Baruch is Baruch V'Hashem M'Kaymai. Who is Hashem Yimloch Li'olam V'Ed? On another level, we're not focusing on Hashem Yimloch. Let's put Hashem Yimloch aside. Who is a summary of Kodosh and Baruch? There are events in this world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala himself. And there are times in this world where Hashem hides himself. Golos, the Anochi, Haster Aster Panai Bayomahu. And a person who doesn't pay attention can make a mistake and think, you know, there are different gods, Chvesa, I don't know, all different types of varieties of Apikursus. Chas v'shalom. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. There's only one God. And there are times when Hashem is begeder, kodosh, kodosh, meloi chol aretz. And there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hides himself, is baruch kivoid, yecheskel. Who? Who? It's the same. Don't make any mistake. There's only one Hashem. There are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noyeg with rachamim. There are times with din. There are times of reward, times of punishment, times of gilui upon him, times of hester upon him. Who? There's only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you respond to the goyim, the goyim are always challenging Klal Yisrael. It's very sad that today, in today's day and age, when the goyim challenge Klal Yisrael, you know, Mashiach is not here yet, and the response is always very political, with white gloves, very political, and we're very good to these people, and we're super careful, and we do this, and we give them money, and we do this, everything. The Torah tells you, Rabbi Yitzchak tells you, there's only one response. When the goy comes, the umay sa'olam come to challenge Klal Yisrael, there's only one response. You know what the response is? Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. Hashem Tzivakos. Miloi Chol Aretz Kivoidai. There's a creator who has created this world. And although you today don't see this, you don't see Hashem's revelation, that's your problem. Hashem is still there. Baruch kivoid Hashem mimikoymai. And who? The response when the umay so'olam challenge Klal Yisrael is, say kedusha. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by their challenges. You, when they challenge, you dig in deeper and just nachamol. Don't be influenced. Don't feel the heat. Be mechazik yourself and say kedusha. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Baruch kivoy Hashem. Who? Although we're living now in times of challenge, where it's an intensity of V'yonochi hastir astir panai b'yom ahu, don't forget this Miloi cholo aretz kivoidai. And although now it's Ayei Mekayim Kivoydai, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mekayimai, who? He's there. Strengthen yourself. And the best that you can respond to the Goyim, respond to them this. Respond, for, of course, to yourself. But the response to criticism has to include with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's very sad. The prime ministers of Israel very rarely, at least in the past, have ever invoked the name of Hashem. In America, the president of the United States used to, I don't know, now not so much anymore, and they would say, God bless America. Did you ever hear a prime minister say, God bless the state of Israel? What a tragedy. What a chilul Hashem. What a chilul Hashem. It's not to be believed. If in America, they can say every speech, at least traditionally, okay, this president, not really, this president over here doesn't seem to believe in God, but the past presidents, the history of the United States, God bless America. Okay, it's a basic principle. What?
God's on our money.
On Dalva. Digital currency is, there's no God in the digital currency. The whole world is, so why is it that in the state of Israel, it's almost an embarrassment? Mamish, an embarrassment to say God, ashamed. Yeah, behind the scenes, the state of Israel is the biggest marbitz Torah in the world. They give more money to support Torah than the combined amount of money that's been given to support Torah probably since creation. No one's denying chas v'shalom to be critical chas v'shalom of the hatova. I'm not from that chevra here, okay? I'm not coming to be critical chas v'shalom of the hatova of Medinas Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael. Okay, I'm not getting into politics now. Hold off on. I know everything. I'm not going there now. But there is a problem in that there's almost an embarrassment in the public eye that we're religious. It's because because when you invoke religion, it's like fundamentalism. It's World War III, Armageddon. It's Sakana.
Yes, but Bible believers understand this position.
It's like Mary wanted to put a sign for Zeldin on the in front of a shul, and the rabbi said, no, don't do it. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. So I assume
you're a target.
So I assume that's the reason why traditionally it's been very difficult for the state of Israel for 75 years to say God bless Israel, because you say those words, it's like a declaration of war against the Chvesnish to say those words. But is it really? When Trump went and he moved the embassy to Yerushalayim, so the whole world was saying, you're out of your mind. You're literally going to ignite World War III. If you move the embassy to Yerushalayim, World War III will begin. And he did it. And you know something? Nothing happened. Kemat. And in fact, all the other countries started following some. It started a process. Not embarrassed. Why are you embarrassed? Why are you embarrassed to acknowledge Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh?
Because when a Jew believes in God, he comes with baggage that he has to have some more Shabbat and keep kosher. When a goy says it doesn't mean anything, it's just a nice guy in the sky. So a Jew, when he...
All right, okay. All right. It comes with an acknowledgement. Okay. But it's at least a step in the right direction. This is just trying to make an observation. Baruch Hashem, for the last 70 years, Hashem gave us an incredible bracha. Anyone doesn't acknowledge this, I don't know what to say. This is a Medina. There are a lot of problems. No one's going to deny all the problems, what's going on. No question about it. Fine. It's an incredible bracha. And yet, study the history of the state of Israel. There is this almost embarrassment to publicly acknowledge that we're a Jewish state. Keep the Jewishness, bitzina. different. Some of the leadership is very proud that it's a Jewish state, but even though we're very proud, it's for us. Bitsina. But Befarhesia, no. It's not religion. Rashi. Again, you listen. I don't know, and it's just making observations. Halacha lemaisa, yani gedolei Yisrael, das Torah to tell you what to do. But Rashi,
it's an assertive response.
Rashi says extremely powerful words. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, the Umay Yisraelim are going to challenge us. Shem Yoimru Umay Yisraelim li Yisrael. Well, we don't live in a world where you can say this. The Umay Yisraelim are saying to Yisrael, Israel. They're saying to Klal Yisrael, listen atem, shekibashtem arotze shivas goyim. They haven't been saying this for 75 years, no? They haven't been saying this to us. So what is the response of Rabbi Yitzchak? They don't want to say this. They don't want to say this response. They want to say, you know, they give you 50 reasons why we're no worse than the Americans who conquered the land from the Indians.
Right.
All along that, don't keep God out of this. God is not part of the 50 brilliant answers. Each answer, you can get a PhD, a Nobel Prize. But the common denominator of the 50 answers, which you'll get an independent Nobel Prize, leaves out God's name. And Rashi rejects all of the 50 answers, and he says, this is what the answer is. Well, let me just finish. I'll let you say. Heim oimrim lohem, kol ha'aretz. Miloy chol ha'aretz kivoidoy. It doesn't say now shel hamokoim, shel hashem, shel elokim, shel kel, shel shakai. Rashi is not politically correct. Rashi goes for the ultimate punch. The ultimate punch. When Rashi has to, you know, there's a God, you know, I want to tell you the answer, there's a God. Rashi, the term that Rashi uses to describe God is more over the top, more dynamic than the seven names, She'enam Nimchakim. He says, "Kol ha'oyla, you tell the Goyim, this is what you tell the Gentiles, the Umay Sa'oylam. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. You're afraid World War III will break out? Who says? You made that up. You put that into your mind. You make for yourself your own problems. Hey, Noemlem, don't just under the radar, under your breath say, oh, hamokoim. Say, hey, lohem, kol shel. What's the words? Kadosh. Hashem tzivakos miloy chol haaretz kivaydai. Baruch kivoid Hashem mimikoimai. Hashem yimloich liyolom voed. Whether it's Yeshaya, whether it's Yecheskel, who? There's only one God. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Say it the way it is. Use the shame that's the mother of all shemais. This is the first Rashi. Your Rashi. Rabbi Chol, what do you want to say?
Okay, you might remember this, but not all of you have heard this. A number of years ago, I went to a conference at the United Nations on anti-Semitism. And I went with a friend, and it's a big, beautiful auditorium at the UN. And there are a number of, you know, it was mostly a Jewish audience, not necessarily, but who sponsored this conference?
The Christians.
It was a tiny Pacific Island nation you've probably never heard the name of. And they, you know, and we're waiting for this thing to start with the speakers and all that. And there were people, there was somebody from a Jewish organization to the right of me and another one to the left of me, and they were all buzzing and saying, who are these people? Why are they so supportive of Israel? Yeah, so I said to them, well, I don't know for sure, but I would guess that it's because they believe in the Bible. So the official from that country got up to speak, and he said, God gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people. And person on the right, person on the left looked at me like I had Ruach HaKodesh or something. But no, I've had experience with Kufi, Christians United for Israel. So that was my guess. And you see this happens.
When Rashi says, don't be embarrassed. Okay, you have to ask the Gedolei Yisrael. I know you have to, you know, I'm making an observation. The facts are we have a lot of problems, and it's a fact that there's mamish an embarrassment by the leadership of the state of Israel that we're a Jewish state, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was associated with us. Is that really correct? Are you afraid of World War III? Rashi, I'm making an observation. I'm not saying we should add one and one together. Okay, I don't know halacha lemaisa. Maybe Gedolei Yisrael say that's not the right thing to do. Rashi says when they challenge you, Rashi pulls out dynamite. He doesn't beat around the bush. And I'm dwelling upon this nekuda specifically, which we never dwelt on, is in his response, is every single word he darshan, the choice of how Chazal describe Hashem in this response. And the choice of way they describe God in this response is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't choose to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the word HaMokim, with the word Elohim. This is not their language. It's not their language. It's like I remember, you know, a year ago in Florida when that building came down.
Mm-hmm.
Surfside. And there was a girl whose father passed away in this tragedy, and the president of the United States came there to visit, whatever, and she was talking to the media. And this is a Beis Yaakov girl, and they asked her, and the whole world is watching this. There are literally millions of people watching this, and like she's very innocent, and they say, so how do you deal with this? I daven to Hashem. She said, like mamash, like the Yiddish words. I say Tehillim. I daven to Hashem that my father should be found. She spoke with the tenimos that you speak in shul. And who's watching this? Millions of people. Who's Hashem? What did Jesus say? I say Tehillim. What's Tehillim? Who's Hashem? What does it mean you daven? He said all of the Yiddish words that a child says. So if you were an adult, right, you're 30 years old, I pray to God that God should spare my father. And, you know, we recite Psalms. God is my shepherd. That's what probably an adult would, right, would say, would talk this type of language. Because you're talking to the whole world. You're talking to the world. No. I daven. I say Tehillim. I have emunah. She spoke. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I never saw something like this. Millions of people are watching this, and she's talking to this reporter, and she's talking like Mamalosh. And the Goyim are watching this. That's what Rashi says. When the Goyim come to you and they say, what are you doing here? You say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem Tzivokos, Miloy Chol Aretz Kivoydai. It's his world. Baruch Kivoid Hashem, the Kivoid Hashem. Chazal say, Ritzoinoi Shel Adam, Zehu Ritzoinoi. The Kavod of a person is his will. Biritzoinoi, it was his will to give it to them, and now it's his will to give it to us. Baruch Kivoid Hashem in Mekaymai. Honor the will of Hashem. Hashem said in the Torah, Ad Kan you, now it's for us. Just say it the way it is. Don't go mince word. Don't go make up new terminology. Say to the Umar Sa'olam, the Mamaloshan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Kivoid, Kivoidai, Ritzoyna Shaladam, the will of a person, this is ultimately Kivoidai.
Don't they tie it that the Yidden sinned and therefore they were driven out?
No, the Torah says you do teshuvah. We do, there's no time. It's, what do you mean, the Sholosh Shavuos? Sounds like Satna. No. We've done Shuvah. No. Hashem gave it to us. We did Shuvah. It's the Zman. Higia Hazman. Okay, let's, another Vart, another quick Vart. It says in this parasha, this is the Chait of the Chait Eitz Hadas. The Chait Eitz Hadas begins with a very disturbing passage. It says, Adam and Chava, Vayu Shneihem Arumim, Velo Yispoi Shashu. The beginning of the story was like quite a shift, right? A shift of topics. Okay. It says here, the beginning of... Okay, everybody say. It says, Va'anochosh, it says at the end of the parasha, right before Perigimel, it says, Al-Kain Yazov Ish, Es-Oves, Imo, V'Dovak, V'Ishtoi, V'Hayu, L'Vosarechot, Va'yu, Shneihem, Arumim, unclothed, Ha'adam, V'Ishtoi, V'lo, Yispoi, Shoshu, and they were not ashamed. So we all learn in Cheder, there was no Yetzirah. Nothing to be ashamed of. No Yetzirah. Can you imagine a world without a Yetzirah? Big deal. V'lo yisfashashu. There's nothing. It's a different world. And then what happens? The Nachash comes along. He sees what they're doing. And he wants to live with Chava. V'chulu. The Chet Eitz Hadas. And then after the Eitz and the Eitz Hadas, V'atipakachna Enei Shneihem. Oh, Vayedu, now they came to realize, Ki, Erumim heim. Vayispiru alei se'ena vayasu lechem chagoyreis. In the Farshim, you learn the parasha a little bit deeper. What's the connection? The hakdama to the story is Arumim. The end of the story is, oh, Vayedu, now we know. Now we know ki erumim heim. It doesn't. If it's so simple, like they teach you in elementary school, that there's no Yetzirah, and now there's a Yetzirah, that's a side point. That's not a significant factor that should be used to sandwich the story. No, there's no Yetzirah. No memela. Not embarrassed. You would write this in a medrash. And then the eighth and the eighth sadas, oh, the world now came to an end. Eighth and eighth sadas, now Hashem says you're going to die, you're going to suffer, and this. No, and you're embarrassed. No. So this is a side point. This is a small detail in the enormity of the Chet Eitz Hadas. Yet the Torah puts so much emphasis. It's like the whole story of the Chet Eitz Hadas starts and ends with one fact. In the beginning, v'lo yispoi shashu, and at the end, now they know they're naked. Oh, and they didn't know before? Why? It's totally blown out of proportion to a degree that doesn't make any sense. The whole world changed because of the Chet Eitz Hadas. Everything changed. This is the focus of what was before, what was after? My high. The answer obviously is that when the Torah tells you that the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, what was the first Chet? What was the very first sin of creation? And you can analyze all the different the sins of the Bria.
He wasn't happy with
the, I want to say an idea. The first chait of man was v'lo yispoi shashu. He was not embarrassed. He should have been embarrassed. There was no Yetzirah. He had everything in this world, everything he could possibly want. Hashem gave Adam a wife, Chava. He was a taker. He took. Hashem gave him everything. Aren't you embarrassed that you're a taker? What are you giving? What are you here for? To take? Chazal say v'at eroim ve'erya regarding Klal Yisrael, the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. What does it mean there in that context?
No
Rashi, no mitzvahs. A mitzvah is you give back. Hashem put you here to do something, to give. V'at, you had no mitzvahs. You were slaves in Egypt. You were just workers, why are you deserving of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of becoming the Yam HaNivchar? The At Eroim Ve'Erya, you were naked and barren, Hashem had to give you a mitzvah, so you should be deserving of Yitzias Mitzrayim. What was the mitzvah? Dam Pesach, Dam Mila, he gave you something. Here it says, Hashem created them, Vayiyu Shneim Arumim. They had nothing. They had nothing to offer. They just were takers. They were in the Gan Eden, eating delicacies, enjoying the Ziv HaShchina, and they didn't make a bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, nothing. Okay, it's not your fault.
But before that, he gave them the command to watch the garden, work and watch the garden.
That became a little bit later. Wouldn't that come? Okay, fine. Okay, you have to know exactly where, at what point he said that. Okay, put that as a good question, I accept. But basically, they were naked. So you'll say to me, well, what do you want from them? I mean, how are they supposed to know better? That they should feel a sense of shame that they have nothing to offer. So I want to suggest the following chiddush. In the beginning of, where does man come from? Where was man created from? The earth. When Hashem created the earth, what does it say about the earth? Hashem says to the earth, I want you to bring forth Deshe. Okay, which day was this? Vayomer Hashem, this is Yom Chamishi. Third day. Hashem says that the oretz shall produce deshe. What is deshe? Grass. Asef, individual blades of grass. Mazria zera, each form of vegetation shall produce seeds. Eitz peri, oisep peri, limino asher zarva yal oretz. Vahi chen, vatoitze oretz, deshe. Rashi, what does the word deshe mean? Rashi says deshe means a garment. Rashi's words are loy deshe loshon esev, v'loy esev loshon deshe. This word doesn't really make any sense, Rashi says. Shemine deshoin mukhulokin kol echad le'atzmai nikra esa ploini. Ve'ein loshon l'medaber loymar desha ploini. It doesn't make any sense. So what then does it mean, the word desha? It means tismale v'tiskase levush asovim. Hashem told the earth, get dressed, you're naked. That's the word deshe. Rashi makes it very clear. The word deshe has no connection to the word esef, to the word zera, to the word trees. The word deshe means Hashem looks at the earth, he sees barren soil, and Hashem says, ugh, you're naked. You're naked. Get dressed. Cover yourself. That's what it says. It's Shaloshon Deshe, he Levishas Ha'oretz Ba'asovim. A Levush. Cover yourself with grass. Kishahi Mismales, because when the earth is filled with beautiful, luscious grass, the nakedness, the Ervas Ha'oretz, is covered. Tadshe Oretz, next Rashi, Tismale Visiskase Levush, a garment asovim. What does the word levush mean? What's the Chazal say? Levush means low bosh. Take away the embarrassment. If you walk in the street naked, you're supposed to be embarrassed, unless you're a moron. you're missing something in your brain. Person walks around without clothing, he's embarrassed. So what do you do to take away the embarrassment? You put on clothing. And when you put on the clothing, oh, low bush. The embarrassment is no longer. Levush is an absence of embarrassment. Adam and Chava, vayiyu shneihem arumim, Velo yisposhoshu. They had no embarrassment. You know what the problem was? They should have been embarrassed. Why? Where did they come from? They came from the earth. Vayipach Hashem took Ofar Mincho Adama. The earth, the Adama, had a covering, a levush. Toitzei Ho'aretz Deshe. It's built into the DNA of the earth to be embarrassed.
But they were the earth was told to cover up. Why weren't they?
So Hashem created the principle, exactly. Hashem told the earth, you should be embarrassed of yourself, you're naked. And the earth learned the lesson. The earth, it was part of creation. The earth now understood, that's right. This is a principle in life. You don't walk around naked. So it was created on day three, a principle of busha. Tatshe haaretz deshe. Raj, what's the word deshe? Deshe is not grass. It's not this. It's not that. It doesn't fit in the context. It means levush, a garment. Take away my embarrassment. It was created on day two, a principle, a concept, a reality of busha. Busha was put into the world on day three. Now comes day six. Hashem takes that matter, that earth, Ofar min ho'adama, the Eretz. Eretz is an object, which is a substance, which has has built into it now the principle of busha. And Hashem uses that to create a human being. And now Hashem tests man. Come out of the earth. Are you going to cover yourself? Are you going to be embarrassed? Where do you come from, man? You come from the earth. I told the earth, Tanshe, get dressed. I told this to the earth. When you come out of the ground, don't you think you should cover yourself? You should feel a sense of shame? That was the chait. That's the chait of Adam HaRishon. And from there, Avera Goyreres Avera. The Asot V'Hanocha Shoye Orum Mikol HaChaya Asher Pnei Adama. What did the Satan see? It saw, it says in Rashi, it saw their nakedness. Rashi says Beferish, he saw, didn't just see them being with each other. It says he saw their nakedness. That was the entry level. Oh, this man is finished. He's done. He's out of here. I'm taking over. Because this man has failed from the very beginning. The first nisayon of Adam is, where do you come from? You come from the earth? Tatshe! Cover yourself. Be ashamed. What do you have to offer? What have you done in this world that you deserve to enjoy the Ziv HaShechina and all of the delicacies of Gan Eden? At least feel the shame. And at the chait, after the chait of the Eitz Hadas, Vayedu, now they woke up. Now they know, especially when it's Arura Ho'adama Ba'avurech. Now, okay, and Hashem connected Adam. You come from the earth, you'll go back to the earth. That's the emphasis. After the punishment, what was the punishment? After the punishment, Vayedu ki e arum mehema.
So verse 17.
I have such experts here, I'm embarrassed, such bikim in Tanakh. Who am I? Miani. I'm only the biggest bald guy in the world, but besides that. Who there's such excellent here. Look what it says here. Why should the earth be cursed because of you? What did the earth do? Your chait Adam was not just that you were naked. The earth was naked. And the earth was told, Tatshe! Maybe if the earth I'm saying something a little bit wild now, but maybe the earth should have covered itself a little bit more. Maybe the earth didn't cover itself enough. If the earth would have been mezaris itself to cover itself with greater intensity, maybe it would have made a greater roisha. When Adam would have been created from the same matter, it would have learned to be yispoy shoshu. And Adam would not have been naked, and then the nochash would not have an entry point. That's what all the curses are. V'koitz v'dardai tatzmiach v'yachaltas esef hasod. It all goes back to tatshe ha'oretz deshe. Yeah, but no, but it was still covered to it. It says deshe. The principle was still there. Nothing came out, but it was there. Nothing came out, but the concept. Hashem said tatshe. Tatshe means the principle of covering yourself was in place. Was it practical? No. Look, Adam was also naked. But v'lo yispay shashu. The earth was naked. It makes it even better what you're saying. The earth also was naked, because nothing came out until Adam was misfallow, so the earth also was naked. But the earth already was tatshe. It already had the tatshe, it had the levush, loy boish. It had the garment ready to go. Adam didn't have that shame. And it all goes back to curse the earth. Why the earth? It's almost like maybe the earth, if you would have been mizaris yourself to intensify your levush, when Adam would have been created from you, it would have been a little bit more on his conscience. And maybe he would have felt that shame and it would have been different. Okay, I'm just trying to connect the dots over here. All right, so we're only able to do two things today, two different yisoides, the yisoid of the first Rashi, but Yitzchak, to focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi selected Rabbi Yitzchak, who the answer is don't be ashamed. Go ballistic over your devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with nothing left than the Kedusha. Go boldly. And number two, this Yisoid V'lo Yispay Shashu is rooted in the earth that produced Deshe. Deshe is the shame of being Orum. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos Mevorchem.